The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, 20 minutes now before 9 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. You heard the news earlier this week. We've been talking about it. Mike Emmerich is retiring from hockey. He's leaving the broadcast booth, and he's written a new book. And that's really what we were going to talk about is the book, and we are going to talk about the book. But, Doc, thanks so much for being with us this morning. We got to talk about your big decision.
Yeah, well, it's it was, as you said, announced on Monday, and pretty much conceived, and Joyce and I talked it over. I had made the decision, and she, my wife of 42 years, said, "Sure about this?" And I said, "I really am." Because it is actually mentioned in the last chapter of the book, Larry Smith, who was the longtime broadcaster there in Port Huron, and Bill Watt, a hockey player for the Flags and longtime friend, were at the Daybreak Cafe a year ago at about this time, and they both said, after Bill had asked me, "How long are you going to do this?" And I said, "I don't know. I really enjoy it." And both of them said, "You'll know when it comes time to retire," because both of them had been retired. And it came to me between the second and third rounds, and that's when I spoke with Joyce and also my business representative about that. It came to me that I had started all of this covering NHL games 50 years ago. I'd seen my first game 60 years ago, and I'd been doing NHL telecasts for 40 years. There were a lot of zeros in there. And during the pandemic, NBC had done an incredible job of keeping me safe, because my driver's license doesn't lie as to how old I am, 74. And I did have some boxes to check from my past, one of which was cancer. And so they did their best to keep me safe by allowing me to work at home and call play-by-play of a fast-moving sport from home. And that was not hard for me physically to do, because I have a big screen right in front of me. But technically, it was a challenge, because you know by watching television, sometimes when people are talking, there is a delay between the video and the audio. And so that was a gap that had to be closed, because you can't have the description being a second and a half after the picture, or it's just no good.
Right.
But they were able to close that gap remarkably through some expense and through fiber optic technology that I don't understand. So anyway, midway through this whole process, it just came to me that I've been very fortunate to not only have my health and keep it, knock on wood, but to be a part of a lot of thrilling events, and through the protection of NBC to be able to go through this pandemic so far and be okay. So this was the time. And just as those guys said at breakfast that day, this you'll know. And this was the time. Anyway, that's it.
It's funny, because I remember having a conversation with Larry maybe 5 or 6 years before he retired, and he was trying to envision what retirement looked like. He said, how do people do it? What do they do after they retire? There's nothing to do. His whole life was about his work. But he knew, you know, and he knew, and he thoroughly enjoyed his retirement, and unfortunately, cut way too short. Here's hoping that you have many years of an enjoyable retirement. And you've got a great book to talk about. It's called Off Mic. I love the title. The title actually comes from maybe you can tell. Didn't you do a radio feature several years ago called Off Mic?
Yeah, John Wismer, in those years he was running the station, and I was doing NHL games on a regular basis back in the early 90s, said, "Why don't you do a radio commentary show and just phone it back. And so through a lot of technical things, I was calling on the phone every day and doing a commentary that was aired on the station. And so it was called Off Mic. And then eventually we did a CD of some of the commentaries. I think there were about 15 or 20 of them that were on a CD, and the title of the CD was Off Mic too. So yeah, it's not a new title to the area, but the book does mention chapter 3 does deal with the time that I spent in Port Huron and some of the Flags teams and the overwhelming victory over a heavily favored Saginaw team in the Turner Cup playoffs in 1976, and a lot of other events that occurred in my life that really focused on Port Huron and the first chance that I ever had 47 years ago to broadcast hockey games to somebody other than myself, because much of the preparation that I had was just doing games into a recorder to myself. And it was good practice, but it's a lot different when there are people out there listening to you.
I love reading in the book, Mike, about how you you started really as a child, you and your brother playing ball out in the yard. Most kids, when they're playing baseball, they're envisioning themselves as being their favorite players and in their glory playing an all-star game or the World Series. You not only envisioned yourselves as the players, but you did the play-by-play of the game out in your backyard.
Oh, yes. Gee, you are very perceptive from having read the book. Yes, whoever was at bat would describe the game, because whoever was in the field had to chase the ball down. And so, yeah, we actually made up lineup cards. And so we would go through a 9-inning game. And I think any Tiger fans will be glad to know that in all of our games, and we did this for probably 3 or 4 summers until he got into high school and got a summer job and we weren't able to play ball as much, the Yankees never won. They never won one of our games because we were Midwestern guys from right. Indiana, and the Yankees were just not a favorite team of ours. No. We disliked them feverishly. We hated the Yankees. So anyway, they never won our games. They won all the World Series back then, but they never won any of our games.
The other thing I love about this book, Doc, is that it's about hockey, but it's really about people. And you have met and befriended so many people over your career, and you have kept those people close in a lot of cases, haven't you?
Yeah, that's one of the fun parts of this, and it'll be one of the things I miss in that I can still stay in touch with those people, but not face-to-face. And that was something that was going to be taken away anyway, and something that I saw happening the day that I did the last game that I did in an arena, which was March 11th in Chicago. The next day, the NHL went on pause and was paused for 4.5 months before they had this spectacular achievement of having a playoff that went through August and September. There were new rules coming down where we could not go into the dressing room and talk to players. We could not interview coaches unless it was en masse, sitting in chairs with the coaches a safe distance away at a table at the front. And so it was a new hands-off sort of situation. And one of the things that I enjoyed most about doing games was going to practice in the morning and learning more about the players that were going to be on the ice that night by sitting next to them and learning what their story was. And it was not about stats that were already printed out, but it was about what their lives were like. And how is our time?
Don't worry about the time. There's no clock.
Okay. Okay. Here's one that never made air, and I don't know if I ever do another book with Kevin Allen. It'll be entitled "Things I Forgot," because it never made air because Dallas did not win the Stanley Cup, and Radek Foxa, Radek Foxa, who was a member of the Dallas Stars but was injured, and so I couldn't get the story in. There are a number of youth hockey players that go away from home, and Radek Foxa was from Czech Republic. They go away from home at an early age, but they are billeted with a family somewhere. It happens in the U.S., and it happens in Canada on a very regular basis. Radek's mother was a single mom, and in Czech Republic at the time, he had a skill in playing hockey. A team noticed that skill, and he had a discussion with his mother. She realized that there was a chance for him to blossom as a hockey player if he left home. The owner of the team also had a hotel, and the team's hotel was located about 70 or 80 miles away, so there was no possibility of driving back and forth, and his mom had to work to keep body and soul together. So Radek was given a room at the hotel. He, at age 11, lived in a hotel by himself for 5 years, got himself to school, got himself to practice. So I learned of this story the night before the New Year's Day game at the Cotton Bowl, and I didn't get the story in on New Year's Day for a lot of reasons, but I thought, what is this like for an 11-year-old to be alone in a hotel, and then his mom goes back home and only sees him occasionally, but yeah. And he said, there was a lot of loneliness, especially the first few weeks. But I can't imagine. And then, of course, he said, but now I'm older. I talk to her every day on the phone. And I couldn't imagine if they'd won the Stanley Cup, what his thoughts would have been as he raised the trophy. And I was saving that story for that. But different culture, different situation,
yeah.
But an 11-year-old, undoubtedly lonely, and can you imagine how his mom felt? This is going to be good for my boy, but it's going to be hard for us. Isn't that something?
Tremendous.
11
sacrifice.
Years old. Wow. But, and now here he is. He's a professional, big smile on his face.
Yeah.
But how hard that must have been at the time to go through school back and forth from a hotel, and you're on your own, but you grow up fast, and he's turned out to be a great player and a great citizen, but he couldn't play most of the games in the final because he was hurt.
Doc, you have an incredible memory. You've got so many stories, but obviously you take copious notes too, which you've probably done your entire career. Do you save all your notes? Do you ever get rid of a scrap of paper that you've written a piece of information on?
No, yeah, that's the trouble. It's all analog, too.
Yeah.
So it's all stacked up either here or have you seen the TV show The Storage Wars?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one of those. And I have one of those that where the door rolls up. And so eventually those guides that go back into the 1970s, individually, they don't have a great value, but Joyce and I are very committed to animal causes, and so the 100% of the book revenue will go toward making life better for creatures of all kinds, and as well as any value that can be found in this. So one of the thoughts that I had, and I haven't crystallized it yet, but it's one of the things I'm going to devote time to that I have time now, especially in the new year once the book thing settles down, is imagine a Washington Capitals fan, let's say, might be interested in maybe not one guide from 1979, but all the guides between 1979 and 2015. And having that collection and might pay something for it on some sort of platform that I haven't figured out. And so that, to me, would not only help clean out the stories, because I haven't looked at those guides in 25 years,
right?
But also would, again, bring in some income that we could channel to helping creatures. So that's what it's about. Fortunately, we're okay ourselves, but we like to we like to make life better for dogs, cats, and other creatures. So that's our commitment, and that's what we like to do.
Well, God bless you for that, and thank you so much for all that you've given to hockey and all that you give to us. I know you are in demand this week. You're on a book tour, a virtual book tour, but you're talking to all the major markets and networks, and for you to give us a few minutes of your time means a lot, and I really appreciate it.
Well, we have you on here in the house every morning, and I'm with you sometimes all through First Light. And when you come on at 6:10, and Beth Fisher, oftentimes I hear her a number of times all morning, just like I do Caleb. So I'm a regular listener, and I marvel at what you've done for us, as several of your guests have said. So I only echo what they say, that you have been not only splendid as the morning host all these years, but particularly at a time when we really need someone like you with us. So I congratulate you, and I thank you so much. And I'll be listening because I want to hear what George has to say.
Yeah, George Blaha is going to join us, and we'll find out from him what broadcasting a Spartan game this Saturday is going to be like in these really unusual times. And that comes up in just a few minutes, as you know. Doc, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take
all
care.
The best.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah.